Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. Famous inventor, politician Benjamin Franklin allegedly said, "Beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." But nearly all quotes on the internet seem to be attributed to old Ben, whereas I know for a fact that the world's most famous nuclear safety inspector and part-time philosopher said that beer is the cause of and solution to all of life's problems. That safety inspector is, of course, Homer Simpson. And on Office Hours today, we are, of course, talking about beer. I don't think we'll answer the question whether God loves us or can provide a definitive list of problems beer can solve, but we can find out more about the world of craft beer and what it takes to start a brewery in Luxembourg. And to help me do this, I've got two guests. I've got Patricia Garbellini, founder of Tottenhopfen Brewery, and Damien Lesprit, founder of Artisan Ale. Before getting into the mechanics of craft beer industry in Luxembourg, let's dig into your backstories a bit. So, Patricia, how did beer in Luxembourg come into your life?
I was always a beer drinker. So I really enjoyed it. My story started actually not in Luxembourg. My story started in Austria. And back then, I was already involved into the scene. I was homebrewer before.
And this is how many years ago?
So that was 20 years ago.
Okay.
And then I moved to Luxembourg. And the scene here was really just starting. And then we got involved with the Homebrewers Association.
So there's a Homebrewers Association of Luxembourg?
Yes.
And they talk in Luxembourgish or in English?
No, basically there were some international guys, so all expats. Many of them had their own brands as well. So like Mark, I don't know if you know Mark, so he was the owner of Grand Brewing. Back then, there were different brands as well. Okay. And we were also one of them. So we decided to take a chance and see how it goes.
And Damien, your background and what brought you to Luxembourg and beer?
So me, I started that because I have two Belgian friends and they, of course, they are really beer lovers and they make me discover the craft beer.
Okay, and you're French?
I'm French, yes.
You're from?
Well, I'm Brazilian-Italian.
Brazilian-Italian, okay, as you, as people are in Luxembourg. So you're French, you moved, so you have some Belgian friends, so you moved to...
Yeah, because I come from the restaurant industry, so we are, of course, more wine-oriented. And I discovered the craft beer with them. I wanted to try more this kind of beers. And
so you were in the restaurant industry before you were...
Yeah, I was working in the restaurant. I mean, yeah.
A sommelier, someone advising people?
Yeah, waiter, maître d'hôtel, sommelier, okay. Everything.
wine's always a little bit stuffy, right? I think beer feels a bit more democratic. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's more democratic and it's more affordable. I mean, yes. For the people, because the testers are easier to identify. So if you see the hop tester, the malt tester, or the yeast or wine, it's more difficult for rookies. Yeah. You know, I mean,
rookies are made.
And
for sure.
I discover also that it's maybe easier to identify, but it's not less complex. So you have a lot of testers, and it was really interesting for me.
Tell me about how, I think the company you started off was Artisan Ale to start with. So tell me about how that came about.
Yeah, it was just a shop at the beginning. That's exactly because I wanted to try other beers, and I cannot find anything here in Luxembourg. So I say, oh, maybe I'm not alone. So maybe other people want to find good beers as well. So I decided to start a...
That seems like
beer shop.
An extreme way of tasting beers is to open a shop.
Yes. I mean, like Patricia said, the craft beer scene was really small and the market was just open in Luxembourg. Mm. Wine cellar, we had a lot everywhere, but for craft beer, we don't have.
So how did you two get to know each other then? Did you meet at the...
Also at the scene. So basically because I had launched Tottenhopfen, we started actually at around
November,
the same time, right?
2017.
Yeah. And of course, we came together for commercial reasons, of course. I had the beers. He needed to sell the beers. So
So you originally had the shop down in the Grund, and then you were selling the Tottenhopfen beer. Right. And then tell me about how that relationship developed then between the two of you.
Luxembourg is small, right? So as Damien said, we did not have a lot of shops exploring craft beer. It's a niche. It's a niche of the niche. Of course, the scene is also very small. Yeah, of course, when you start working in this area, you just develop a relationship, right? And Damien was not different. I mean, we got along also from the beginning on. Also, the shop was really nice. So Damien always focused also on selling different beers. So also promoting different local brands.
So you try and hit that balance of giving literally the shop window for Luxembourgish beers, but then also bringing stuff from elsewhere.
Yeah? Exactly, yes.
And then the Artisan Ale in the Grund is no more. So what happened?
Because we had the pandemic and everything. So the plan was at the beginning was to have the two shops, and with the COVID and everything, so we decided to keep only one. So the store now is in the city, so it's. Okay. Better location, I will say.
So the store on Avenue de la Liberté.
Yes, exactly.
Really badly. Yeah, so that's right. Who is? How does that come about? Is that a joint venture? Who runs the store? Tell me a bit more.
It's not very easy just to have a shop. Just a shop is very hard because I mean the clientele is not coming in to consume on premises, yeah. Right? So it's a different offer. And of course, we are in a small scene, so we needed to change a little bit the concept. So we joined his company.
Okay.
Totenhoppen joined his company back then, and we expanded the business. We started with Artisan Ale having also consumption on premises back then, and then together we decided to find a second space in the city. With the pandemic, it did not help too much, of course. We decided just to keep the city center. We had construction works for 2 years in front of us because of of the tram and so on. That was also not easy, but now it pays off, of course. It's a great location. It's a small shop, but I think
the first time I came across it was last summer, I think, and they had a band outside and sitting out on the terrace, you know, in the front, just in front of the tram there. Now the works have stopped. Really nice sun, all those sorts of things. Then I was there a few weeks ago to set up this episode. Mm-hmm. I thought, I'll meet a friend at 6 o'clock. We'll go for a beer, we'll go to the store, have a nice beer. It was absolutely rammed. So the shop's doing well.
Yeah, the bar is.
Yeah. And are you intending on expanding it?
Yes, it's always the idea, no?
Yeah. I mean, it's Luxembourg is the challenge is always finding the space, right? Okay. It's not very easy to find a space in Luxembourg that is also that you have a fair price as well in offer because you have also to balance out, right? Yeah. So everything has to make sense. At Avenue de Liberté, the location is amazing, of course, but we still lack space, right? Yeah. So in winter, especially because we don't have an outside, so you cannot sit outside in the terrace, right? Yeah. So we have to counterbalance in a different way.
Yeah. So I think having that independent style shop there is so good when so many high streets around the world are just dominated by chains and things. So that was great to see. Mm. So let's take a step back then. Let's get back to the real business and the beer. So Totenhopfen, doesn't it mean something like dead hops?
Yeah.
Like, tell me why would you call your beer that?
So dead hops comes mostly from, so it was a play word, so from dead and then hops, hopfen, so Totenhopfen. So it was basically, it's not from the morbid kind of thinking. We like to celebrate life. It's like the Dia de Muertos. The hops need to die so that we can enjoy them into the beer, right? So it goes more into this. I don't want to get into the philosophical part of it. But
it's like the circle of life then. The right. Death of one thing brings joyment elsewhere and all this. And so we enjoy the dead hops, we enjoy the beer, right?
Yeah, exactly. And enjoy while you can. I mean, it's about getting together. It's much more than just drinking, right?
And then, I mean, you've got the hoodie on at the moment. So the labels and the branding, who does all of that? Who's your artist?
Nowadays, it's my brother. So he's doing all the labels. In the past, so who developed our logo was a friend also from Brazil. And he teaches also. And now he's doing other stuff, but he's always doing something new. But and then back then came the idea. I say, I absolutely love his style. And that's where I can see my brand going to.
So we've got the brand,
this direction.
We've got the labels, then the beer.
Yes.
How many different beers do you do?
A lot. Yeah. So we brew at least one beer a month, new beer a month, sometimes more. We do also collaborations with other breweries.
So do you have your own brewing facilities or not?
Not yet.
Okay, so how does that work then?
We contract, I like saying contract brewing, so basically we collaborate with other breweries. A brewery, if you have resources available, right? And if you have an amount of fermenters, and if these fermenters are not filled, you're losing money,
yeah,
basically. So I see this as a collaboration, right? I'm using the resources that they have available, and they benefit because we're helping out in filling these fermenters. But we develop all the recipes. It's done by us, or by me or Victor now, who took over.
But it's a pure transaction. You're just renting the facility. So when you, or do they take a cut of a particular beer? I mean, do they take part ownership in that beer, if you see what I mean?
No. Basically, the whole concept comes from us.
Yeah.
Me, I was doing the recipes before.
It must be an intellectual property part as well, where you're going and you don't want someone else to then be copying your beer.
I mean, this is a funny topic, actually, because craft beer is not like that. It's not like, oh my God, you're going to take my recipe. Of course, if I'm going to the brewery and I have my ways of doing some things, I can give you my recipe. But if the water quality is not the same, if you don't know the timing, if you develop knowledge throughout time, and this is actually, for me, what matters. If I give you my recipe, you don't know the water quality,
yeah,
it will be a different beer.
I would actually waste more time and more money trying to replicate it, then it's just not going to be worth my while, right?
Even if you want to do the same, the system, your system, your brewery, yeah, plays also a role. So do you have a centrifuge? No, you don't have a centrifuge. Do you have reverse osmosis or not? So all of our beers, for example, we define the profile of the water.
Yeah.
The water is very important. Right, so if I want to brew a beer that is with the water profile of Scotland, I can do that.
You do that, do you? You create water as though it's from different parts of the world.
Cool. So you can do that, and that's where it goes, right? So it starts from the basis, from water.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very interesting. So that's why, I mean, a beer here, or let's say in Kirchberg, or if you go to Sessange, or if you go to Differdange, the water is different as well.
And then where do all the names come from? They all seem to have wacky names, craft beers.
Yeah.
What's your favorite name out of all your beers?
Our beers, from beer to label to naming, all make sense. So there is a concept around it. Even it's funny, or if it's not, but it makes sense. Like, I'll give an example. Dark Angels of Death, for example.
Okay.
it was an Imperial Stout that we brewed actually for... with Brazilian Amburana wood. I did it as inspiration from like to a friend. So it was and we do this a lot. So we do stuff we like. So I'm going to brew this beer in honor of this person. And
so this is someone that passed away?
No. He lives.
Okay, still lives. Okay.
He lives, but it comes from an inside joke because he worked at different breweries before, and these breweries do not exist anymore. So it was an inside joke that we said, you're like the Dark Angels of Death. Everything you touch, like, it's...
That was a big risk. A big risk.
But actually, he's working at the brewery now, and they are it's working really nice. So, but anyhow, it's just a joke.
So do you ever brew the same beer again, or is it only ever a one-off?
We do. We do have like our core line. So core range, we have five, six beers, and then we brew one-offs. They're one-offs. And people still come to us and say, when are you brewing this beer again? I say, no.
Never.
Never, yeah. So maybe I'll do that in a couple of years, so that just for the fun of it.
Backed by popular demand.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, it's fun to develop new recipes. So
do you have a favorite name for a Totenhopfen beer?
Totenhopfen. I like also the name of Svensson, because it's a story behind all the names. It's a story, but it was a client in a bar, and he always wanted to drink... normal beer, you know, like lager or pils, or he like only normal beer. And Patricia like to do special beer. So I mean, with fruit, with vegetables, with what you want, and you know, little bit crazy things or spicy. And he said, ah, but when did you do a normal beer? Because we don't have one. Yeah. And so she decided to do a lager, so really normal. So this guy called Sven.
Okay.
So Svensson, the normal beer for Sven. So and it's writing on the labels as well.
And does it have a really like standard plain label then, if it's the normal beer, or is it still a wacky label?
We always have animals in our labels.
Okay.
So there's always an animal in our, in the label. And in this one, he chose the animal. So I said he is also a big guy. So Sven is a big guy. So it's a, so he wanted a bear. So we put a bear.
Sven the bear.
Yeah, Sven the bear. Yeah.
Thank you. Good. So we know a bit more about, I guess, how they came together to make craft beer in Luxembourg. So let's take a break and come back with some of the Chewy questions. Seventy percent of people reported better sleep. 67% of people reported higher energy levels. This wasn't caused by beer, but the nemesis of beer, dried January. But it's self-reported data. Are the effects real, or were the participants in the study just trying to convince themselves there was a benefit from avoiding the amber nectar for 31 days? Welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, we looked at some of the workings of the craft beer industry. Now we'll get into the Chewy questions. And I want to start with dry January. Just a quick fire one to start off with, though. You do non-alcoholic beers?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Dry January. Starving the revenue stream for an important part of our economy by encouraging people not to go out drinking and socialising, and also for our community, seems like a really bad idea. Do you see a dry January effect?
Well, not really. At the store, we don't really see a difference because first we have an offer of a non-alc drink. We have one fridge dedicated to that all year round. So chance the majority of our clients don't do that. So,
that's okay. Your typical dry January person isn't a typical craft beer person.
No.
But we're going to convert more people to craft beer. It's coming.
Yes.
But I mean, non-alc is really growing as well, right? Dry January is also like it's a movement like Movember, right? Yeah. So the mustache and so on. So it's just one more action. But, and also craft beer, we don't want you to consume a lot. The business has to make sense, but it's about quality, right? So you consume better.
So the drinking culture around craft beer isn't like the drinking culture when I was growing up as a student, which was 8 pints of Stella Artois at the cheapest price possible, and then wake up in the morning not knowing where you are, right? So the culture is a lot more about flavors, different things. Yeah. One or two may be a little bit stronger, mm-hmm. but be careful with those. Maybe one is enough if it's 8 point.
Yes. And this is exactly what we want to do at the store. Not only selling beer, I mean, we give an experience. You know, it's something else because you can find other testers, other... it's not only, I drink a beer, you know. It's something else. It's the product are high quality and we want to propose that to the customers. So it's more an experience than only drinking to be drunk.
Yeah,
and building community as well, right? So you there, you can go alone to the store, you're always going to meet someone. You're not going to feel alone there. Yeah. I mean, you have a small space, which makes you also, you're obliged. If you want to go there, you're going to most probably sit with someone else because... Especially in winter, right?
The way you have the table set up, you almost can't sit on your own, right?
No.
Because they're long benches, so you end up sitting with someone,
right.
End up invariably talking to the person next to you.
And it's funny. I mean, actually, we see many of our clients, they got to know other people there, and now they really arrange to go there together. So they got friends, actually, at the store. And it's fun, actually, to see that, because especially now, it's a lot of everything is digital, right? So it's a... It's a change, right? So
this is exactly the craft beer spirit, I would say.
Right. Yeah.
The one thing I don't understand about beers and restaurants is that every single brasserie or bar in Luxembourg seems to either be like Boffading or Batan. It's only one or the other. And then the other craft beer on the scene, though, is Twisted Cat. But I know Twisted Cat, I think Twisted Cat, the people involved with that also are involved in Urban, Bazaar and Pan Am. Mm-hmm. So there's this connection between the brewer.
Right.
How is it possible for new entrants and why do these brands dominate in the way they do?
I think there are two things. I mean, Boffading, Dikirch and so on. So they exist also for a long period of time, which makes sense as well, right? But I mean, it has also to do with the licensing in Luxembourg. So a bar, in order to sell beer on premises, you have to have a license. And these licenses are attached. So you can have your own or they're owned by someone else. Böfning and De Kirsch, they also own big parts of the licenses, which is already into discussion.
So in England, the licensee is an individual. So when you go into a pub, there's always a name above and it's that person, right, that individual that's responsible. So licensing in Luxembourg, is it the... So it's the brewery that's responsible, or if the brewery owns the license?
Right. So it depends who the owner of the license is.
Okay.
Right. The owner can say what you can do. Yeah.
And how restrictive are the licensing laws? I mean, can you sell beer at breakfast time? I mean, what's the limit on when you can serve?
If you have the license, you can serve the...
You can sell for breakfast if you want.
Yeah. Is there a time you have to close so you can go later?
This is something else. It is opening time. It's owned by the commune. So, okay. But with your license, right, you can. Right. Of course, in Luxembourg, it's 1 o'clock. Or if you have, they call that nuit blanche, you can open until 3.
And the store's open till?
We are open from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m.
So what's the future then? We spoke earlier about expanding. Is more expansion in Luxembourg City, into Esch, different countries? Like, what's the view?
So we definitely need another bar, if it's gonna be a Totenhofen tap room or also another concept like the store. And of course we plan also to have, we always did, to have our own brew pub, brew house and pub. We are working on it.
So if people are heading down to the store then and they want to get into the craft beer scene, what would be your recommendation? What would be the beer they should try?
So yeah, I think from Totenhofen, Daily Nectar can be a good choice.
Daily Nectar,
yeah, okay. Because it's not too strong. It's 4.6% of alcohol, and it's a New England pale ale, so it's a lot of hops. Okay. So you can feel the fruitiness, and it's really fresh and easy drinking. So it's a good start. Yeah, after I think also a lager or a pils can be a good. Things because you have the comparison because with what you can find everywhere. So if you industrial beers are always like pils or this if you drink one craft pils, you can directly see the difference
between a craft pils and a Böfning or with a De Kirsch,
whatever big production beers, I would say, like also like Jupiler, like Kronenbourg, like everywhere, you know, in every country you have this kind of industrial big production beer, and you can really see the difference. I mean, because of the raw materials used, and so it's, you have the comparison. And after, if you, because of course, if you go to Dark Angels of Death, you can find only that in craft beer scene. You don't have the comparison to do.
And then what's the next beer that's going to come off the line? What's the next one?
We recently launched a collaboration brew with some guys from the Netherlands. It's the second collab we've done with them. It is an Imperial Cherry Porter with Tonka.
Imperial Cherry Porter with, what was that last word?
Tonka.
What's Tonka?
So Tonka is, Tonka beans. So basically it's a...
It's a kind of cocoa.
Yeah, it's that it gives thing intensity in the beer and complexity. So in this beer, for example, it influences with the taste of almond, for example.
Wow.
So you perceive the combination gives you like a touch. So it depends on how much you add it, of course.
I'll get myself down to the store then and I'll give that one a try. What was it called again?
So it's called Stop Making Sense.
Stop Making Sense?
Yes.
Stop Making Sense. Okay.
That makes sense for us, so yeah.
Okay. Well, Stop Making Sense, but I'm sure you're going to keep on carrying making top craft beer. So I want to say thank you very much for both of you for coming in. If people want to get in contact or know more, where should they go?
They can go on Instagram,
okay.
The store Luxembourg, and we have also the website, the Totenhofen website, and the store as well.
Brilliant. Instagram, we're there.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming in, and thank you to the listeners.